I read about a man, young man, from Austin, who jogs along Town Lake. They have beautiful jogging trails all around the lake, and this particular day, he began on his path. He jogged every day, and this day was no different. As he began to jog, he passed a young woman pushing one of those strollers that joggers who have little children use. They keep jogging, but they just take their baby with them. He passed her and went along the path. But on this path, on this particular day, a tree had fallen across the path. Whether he was the first one that day or not, he came to this tree. It wasn't a huge tree, but it was right across the jogging path. He stopped and thought, well, I should move it. Especially knowing that some paces behind him was this woman with her baby in the stroller. So the story said he went to move the tree, not that large, but as soon as he had moved it, just not even a foot, ooh, his back went out. That terrible pain went to the ground, up tears in his eyes, his back is out. Tree is still across the path. He's on the ground. He manages to stand up, broken out in sweat, thinking, how am I going to even walk back to my car? And once I get there, what will I do? Sitting on the tree. He can't even catch his breath. Some of you with back trouble, surely you're there. You just can't even breathe. And as he sits there, the woman with the baby in the stroller comes up to him. He's prepared to say, I'm so sorry. The woman didn't stop. She just came right there. She picks up the stroller over the tree. She steps over the tree. She nudges the man and says, thanks for all your help, jerk. Well, he can't even, whatever. Bunch of gnats and flies begin to surround his head, and then he realizes there were bees in that tree. Those weren't flies and gnats. The bees bite him. He can't even run away. He said it's just a swarm of bees all around his head. He gets to his car. His head looks like a pumpkin. He calls Uber. Someone picks him up and takes him to St. David's Hospital, where he's doctored and spends 2 days with herniated disc in his back. And the whole time, all he could hear was, thanks for your help, jerk. Thanks for your help. You know, it isn't fair. It isn't fair. We want life to be fair. We believe that life should be fair. As children, we heard the books, and as adults, we read the books that said, and they lived happily ever after. That's just the way life is. You live happily ever after. But here's the reality. In life, there are trees and bees and jerks. Life can become a very tangled, hot mess. Friends and families, coaches, teachers, and preachers, Christian brothers and sisters, they beat us up. It isn't fair. 1978, Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, and in that book, in the prologue, the very first line of the book says, life is difficult, it isn't fair. Well, that's a psychologist's thought about life. But surely the Bible, God's Word, Holy Scriptures, will say something different. And so I go back to Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, we spent 4 Sundays in September looking at these first chapters. And I want us to continue for at least one more week on this. Ecclesiastes talks about the righteous, and it talks about the wise. And surely there's a word in here about life. Now, I know how it began, chapter 1, the words of the teacher that said, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, preacher. utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Well, that was chapter 1. So now we're in chapter 6, and it has to get better. It has nowhere to go but up from that. Chapter 6, surely give us some hope. And so let me read, beginning in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I have seen another evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on mankind. God gives some people wealth, possessions, and honor, so that they lack nothing in their hearts that their hearts desire. But God does not grant them the ability to enjoy them, and strangers enjoy them instead. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. Well, the last verse of chapter 6, verse 12. For who knows what is good for a person in life? During the few and meaningless days, they pass through like a shadow. Who can tell them what will happen under the sun after they're gone? Well, let's go to chapter 7, verse 2. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. Verse 15, in this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these. The righteous perishing in their righteousness, and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Don't be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Chapter 8, verse 14. There's something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve, this too is meaningless. Chapter 9, verse 1. So I reflected on all of this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so it is with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Are you encouraged yet? Meaningless. 6, 7, 8, and 9. We should have just stayed in chapter 1. Meaningless. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. Seems to be what Ecclesiastes says. So I did what all good preachers do. Change the topic. Move to something different. Let's go to the Psalms. Oh, the Psalms. The Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the time. I like the Psalms. This is the Psalms. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. I like the Psalms. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Know that He is God and He is good. Oh, I like the Psalms. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Even the Psalms. It isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But wait. Because Psalm 13 isn't finished. I read four verses. Look on me, O God. Answer me, O God. My enemy will say, I've overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. Verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. But my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. I trust in God. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. It isn't fair. But I trust. I trust in his unfailing love. Oh God, I trust in your salvation. I rejoice in your salvation. I sing, oh God, of your praise, for you have been good to me. It isn't fair, but God. Look back in Ecclesiastes. Maybe I read it too quickly. Maybe there's more there. Chapter 7, I read verse 2 and verse 3. And in chapter 7, I read verse 15, the righteous perish and the wicked. But look at verse 14. When times are good, be happy. And when times are bad, consider this, God has made the one as well as the other. God's got this. It's not always easy. Life doesn't always make sense. Life's not always fair, but God has made the one as well as the other. But God has this. God made it all. Chapter 8, verse 15. I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in the toil all the days of the life that God has given them under the sun. Enjoy life. Life's not fair. Life doesn't always make sense. But God, eat and drink and be glad and allow joy to accompany all of life, for God has it. God has life even when it's not fair. Chapter 9, this is evil in everything that happens. The same thing happens whether you live or whether you die. But look at verse 4. Anyone who is among the living has what? Anyone who is among the living has what? Hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. Hope. A recent politician said, it is often when night looks the darkest, it is often before the fever breaks, that one senses the gathering momentum for change, when one feels the resurrection of hope in the midst of despair and apathy. Apostle Paul, writing to Rome, said, therefore, Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character gives hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who God has given to us. The psalmist said, weeping may last, weeping may last, weeping will last through the night, but hang on, for joy comes in the morning. Thanks for all your help, she said. Jerk. Mom said, no, 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 no. Dad said, no. And I said, but that's not fair. And they said, and life's not always fair. Hurricanes come. And it seems that the hurricanes always hit the areas that are already so despondent, those areas, those countries, those islands that are already just barely making it, just barely living. The large hotels seem to make it on the islands, but the folks who live there, they're just wiped out, and they build back their shanties and they're wiped out. And the hurricanes come to Florida and they go to Mexico Beach and they wipe out, and they come to Texas and they hit Rockport. Hurricanes happen. The drunk driver comes down the street and veers from their lane across the median and head on hits the car. And those who were simply headed to the park that day, they all die, and the drunk driver may have a scratch. The young couple, they don't believe in those vaccinations, those inoculations. It's something weird about that. We're not going to do it. And so the whole classroom is covered with measles, a new epidemic coming back in our country. They simply went to the synagogue to pray, like they had prayed every week, faithful followers. And the gunman shows up. The gunman is shot and then pleads not guilty. You know, it's been a year since Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church at this very hour, 1 year ago, rural country church. Why do bad things happen to good people? When I was at Baylor, that book had just been written. Rabbi Harold Kushner, a rabbi who had loved God and loved the law of God, and had preached in that synagogue to those people, and his child's life ended in a terrible disease. And he wrote the book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And through that writing and through that book, he realized he was asking the wrong question. It's not why do bad things happen, it's what do you do when bad things happen, because bad things do happen. What do you do? What is your response? I suggest our response is in hope. In hope, when life is not fair and things happen, in hope, we call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the psalmist did. How long? How long, O God? How long will you sit there, O God? But God, I trust in you. I rejoice in your salvation. You've been good. It isn't fair. You're right. But anyone who's living has hope. Anyone who's living can still have hope. Sir Bernard Williams, an English philosopher, maybe summed it up best. He wrote, "The day God created hope was probably the same day He created spring." Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for spring. After dark, dreary, cold, dead, lifeless winter, spring comes. Hope is renewed. Life sprouts. Green comes. Hope and spring. God, we don't understand so much about life. It comes at us hard. Trees fall and we try to help and we're called a jerk. We show up to worship and we're attacked. We're driving our car and we're hit. Disease and illness, cancer happens. Oh God, we need you. We simply need you. Every hour we need you, and our hope is not in ourselves. It's not in our wisdom. It's not in our knowledge. Our hope is in you because you're that type of God. When we don't understand it, we hang on. And if we will notice, as we hang on to you, you're really the one that's hanging on to us. You're carrying us. You're loving us. You're drawing us up next to yourself. You have not left us nor forsaken us. You just love us. It isn't fair, but it's good because you're God. And you give us hope. We need you. We need you. Every hour we need you. And you're there. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to